Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jody, and I'm regularly here at the church, but I'm usually teaching the children. So today, it's really cool that they've let me loose to talk to all of you. Okay. We're speaking on Matthew 10 this morning. It was late at night, and the doctors had done all they could. And there, in a cot, lay a tiny baby at the edge of death. This baby was conceived to reconcile a broken marriage. Perhaps if there was a second baby, maybe, just maybe, the parents would go back to that time of joy when they had their first child. That lovely boy with the golden hair, who brought joy to their lives every time they remembered him because he reminded them of a better time. But it wasn't to be. Almost immediately, as the mother fell pregnant, they knew the marriage wasn't going to work. But it was too late. The child was conceived, and the child was coming, whether he was wanted or not. And now the sickly newborn child lay in a hospital cot, barely alive. The baby's grandmother came over. She leant down and she carefully picked up his tiny little underweight body. She carried his body all the way down the hallway to the hospital chapel. Her thoughts were, if this baby's going to die, then he is going to go straight into the arms of Jesus. She went down to the chapel and she whispered a quiet prayer in the still of the night for Jesus to accept her tiny baby. With Jesus, we often don't know what's going to happen or just how our lives are going to turn out. Even when Jesus walked the earth in flesh and blood, it was no different. His closest companions often didn't know or understand what was happening or what was about to happen. In Matthew 10, the disciples had been on a wild ride. They had witnessed some awesome miracles, seeing the blind healed and the dead being raised to life. Jesus had even controlled the wind and the waves, which meant that they survived certain drowning. Imagine how those disciples must have felt. They had been raised hearing stories of a Messiah, and now in front of him was this man of flesh and blood that looked like them, yet he was doing all these amazing things. Could he really be the Messiah? He spoke about life as though it had meaning and purpose. It seemed like with him anything was possible. So why wouldn't you follow him? Why wouldn't you want to? You never knew what was going to happen next. The disciples must have woken up each morning and thought, how is he going to top what he did yesterday? They were in awe of him, yet they were also that little bit scared because what was going to happen next? Then came the day. Through me, you have seen what God has done. Now, through me, it's your turn. This reminds me of when I was an apprentice hairdresser. We had been at hairdressing college and we had these awesome experts, and they hung over your shoulder and they made sure that you didn't make any mistakes before you made them. But then came the day where they sent us out into the real world. We were out there to see real people. And worse still, these people were coming in to see us, and they were expecting to look and feel better on the way out than what they did on the way in. There was the excitement. We could be the ones that made them feel this way. But there was also the apprehension, knowing that this was reality. Whatever we did to these poor people, they were going to have to live with, at least for a little while. For the disciples, I imagine they felt great excitement. They had learned and seen so much just in the short time they had been with Jesus. And now he was entrusting them to go out as he did with his authority. But I imagine they also felt a little bit of apprehension. They were going out to do what they had only seen him do. In Matthew 10, 9 to 15, he sent them out with these words. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever the town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest upon it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. What extras were the disciples to take with them? Nothing. They didn't need anything because their witness to the word and deed of Jesus, carried with his authority, was all they needed. They were to go out into the towns and the villages and search for worthy people. But who were these worthy people? Was it someone of high standing? Or perhaps someone with authority in the community? Was it someone who had a large enough house and enough provision to accommodate the disciples? Or was it someone who stands out as a person who appears to have the greatest devotion to God? No. The worthy were those who were willing to open their doors and welcome in the word of God. These normal, everyday people would have been going about their normal, everyday lives. But when the message of Jesus came knocking at their door, they swung wide the door, welcoming in the message with a ready and hungry heart to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." If we look further on in Matthew 10, verse 40, Jesus says, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. But Jesus also warns the disciples, there would be those that don't throw open the door. Instead, they would slam it in their faces. Jesus tells the disciples, when this happens, shake the dust off your feet. Shaking the dust off their feet was a very common way of showing a severing of relationship in their time. This severing of relationship was not just between the disciples and the household, or the disciples and that town. This severing of relationship went a lot further. They hadn't just severed their relationship with these people. These people had actually severed their relationship to any chance they had of hearing Jesus. And as a result, they were to face judgment day on their own merit without Jesus' saving grace. Then Jesus went on in Matthew 10, 16 to 20 to tell the disciples, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witness to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, it will be given you what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but your Father speaking through you through his Spirit." The disciples were brought out amongst the ordinary, everyday people of the towns and the villages. But they themselves were also those ordinary, everyday people. They weren't experts, they weren't all experts in Scripture. But what they did have going for them was they were part of the worthy because they had opened their own hearts to the message of Jesus Christ. Up until this point, the only suffering Jesus had told them that they were to face was people shutting the door on their message. But now Jesus was telling them of a future time, a time when he would no longer be there in flesh and blood, looking over their shoulder and correcting their actions. He told them of a time when they would face persecution. Life would not always be in this place of safety, where they could shake the dust off their feet. It wouldn't be quite so easy for them just to move on to the next town or village. Instead, they would become like sheep among wolves. Ferocious wolves, looking for blood at the first sign of weakness. So Jesus prepared them for what was to come by telling them to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. When we think of snakes in the Bible, we often have a negative view. After all, the snake in Genesis had set things in motion to turn the world against God in the first place. But Jesus is not telling them to be devious like the snake. He was telling them to use their wisdom and intelligence that God had given them. Don't walk into situations blindly. Be aware of your surroundings and who the wolves are. Balance against this idea is the image of the dove in innocence and simplicity. Too much snake-like shrewdness and you may become like those you are seeking to avoid, relying on your own intelligence and your own understanding over and above that of God. But too much innocence and you won't be on your guard against those who seek to harm you or to lead you astray. Finally, in verse 20, Jesus comforts the disciples with the knowledge that even in the worst of times, the word will be there with them. When they go to open their mouths, they won't need to rely on their own knowledge, their own understanding. Instead, God will be there with them, speaking through them by the power of his Holy Spirit. So that even when all seems lost, all seems hopeless, and even when they seemingly look defeated, God will still be with them, pointing to the good news of Jesus. Through their actions and the power of God's word, the light of the gospel would find the worthy ears not just of their fellow Jews, but also into the hearts and the minds of the Gentiles, spreading the gospel to the nations and fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. Verse 24 says, "The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master." The disciples are not the only ones who would go through suffering and persecution. Jesus himself suffered, was persecuted, and died on the cross to bring us salvation. Once again, what looked like defeat, what looked like the end, what looked like hope lost, was really a part of God's redemptive work so that we too could one day come into relationship with the living God. When we choose to follow Jesus, we can often start our faith journey like the disciples with the excitement and the awe of a new relationship. It can feel like a safe place where anything is possible and we are just bursting at the seams to share the good news of Jesus with the world. We need to remember As we go out into the world, we will also face the wolves. We will also face suffering and persecution. Because the student is not above the teacher, nor the servant above his master. It is often in our darkest moments that the wolves show up, circling and threatening. Yet in Jesus, we too can take the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit with us. We too do not need to rely on our own understanding, on only our own knowledge. Because God will show up. He was there with the disciples, and he was there with that grandmother as she prayed in the still of the night. When in that tiny hospital chapel, it felt like all hope was lost, that grandmother knew it was more important than ever to share Jesus with her tiny little grandchild. What she didn't know was that this tiny, sickly baby would not only come to know Jesus, but he would defy all odds, survive the night, and grow up to share his miraculous story of life with others. He did this so that they too would come to know and share Jesus. Amongst those who he impacted with his story was his daughter. You see, that grandmother was my great-grandmother, and that tiny, sickly baby was my father. We never know how our lives are going to turn out. When I was that apprentice hairdresser, I never would have dreamed that one day I would be standing here speaking to all of you. In my life, I have faced many wolves. And not all of those wolves have been from outside of the church. But Jesus has been there. Even in my own darkest days, Jesus has been there. So if you need Jesus too, or you want Jesus to be the legacy you leave to future generations, if you too want others to catch the light of the world shining and speaking through you, even in your own darkest moments, then I ask you to join me in asking God to help us shine his light in the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just as those disciples all those many years ago went out taking your message and your light into their world, we ask that you use us too, Lord. We ask that you be with us through our darkest moments. We ask that you remind us that you speak through us, indeed and in action and in the words we speak, Lord. We pray that others will come to know you and to know the saving grace of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.